Thank you, Greg, for reading our scripture lesson from 1 Corinthians. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Life has a way of humbling and humiliating us, which often serves as a reminder, whether we like it or not, that we are not in total control with what happens in life. Maybe you have figured that out at some point in your life. Whether good or bad, that seems to be how it all works. Last week, we began the first of a four-week sermon series titled, When We Get Together. Yet after last week's church council vote, we have returned to virtual-only worship. But by the gift of God, and this really is a gift of God, this service is available to anybody with a phone connection or internet connection. So thanks be to God that we can still get together. Now, whether we prefer this way or not is a different story. I want to begin with this morning's subtopic, which is when we get together, we bring and receive all the gifts of God. When we get together, we bring and receive all the gifts of God. And I want to begin with verse 7 from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which Greg just read for us. And verse 7 goes like this. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. There is a lot packed into that one verse. To each person, to every person, all persons, is given a gift, a talent, a piece of the divine nature or the Spirit, which can only be activated for the common good. Common good. Sadly, these days, it is difficult for us to come to a consensus or definition of common good. And even more difficult for us as a society is to live into a definition of common good. But I suppose it has something to do with the well-being of others, the well-being of the community, where the most basic human needs, such as food and clothing, shelter, safety, and health, are met regardless of status or income, which a simple drive around our community or your community, or a look at the headlines of our paper will reveal that there is much that we can do for the common good in our time. You see, in Scripture, the Hebrew word and concept of shalom, translated peace, hits on this notion of common good. As I have said before, a better translation of shalom would be comprehensive well-being. As the Hebrew prophets described in their time, shalom is not this lofty utopian vision, but it is actually realistic and attainable, tangible. Simply put, shalom is ensuring that tonight the hungry have a meal to eat, that the homeless tonight have shelter, especially around us today with a winter storm coming in. That the widows and orphans, those with no social safety nets, are cared for and their dignity upheld. Shalom was and still represents these realistic steps God's faithful people could take to address the common good for the health of their community. And the life and ministry of Jesus was certainly centered on the common good of his time. So Paul writes to the church in Corinth to each person has been given a specific and intentional spiritual gift for the common good. In other words, towards shalom, towards communal well-being, God has given each person something unique to contribute. But let's pause for a second, because we might rush past this. What has led Paul to emphasize the diversity of gifts? What was going on in the early church that caused Paul to reteach unity and the value of each of its members' gifts? You see, for the church in Corinth, it really was a diverse church in an urban area. The earliest baptismal liturgy in the early church states that in that community there is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, male or female, all are one in Christ. Unlike other places in the Roman Empire, all were welcome as they were united with Christ towards the common good. However, earlier on in Paul's letter, it is clear that the people are not united. Chapter 1, verse 10 says this, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same purpose." Paul says this precisely because there are divisions in the early church. Those divisions have become an issue for them to get together for the common good. Paul assures them that they have everything they need to meet the present trouble facing their congregation, but it means that they will both have to share and receive the gifts that God has given each of them. The divisions in Corinth remind me of the strategy many board games have. Now, let me explain that. Classically, board games are zero-sum games. You have one person or one team trying to get on top and be the winner. It is often not about the common good or a win-win situation, but a clear winner. Biblical scholars believe that there were some in Corinth who placed their unique gifts given by God as of higher value than others. They were seen as superior, and in so doing, they silenced the spiritual gifts of others, which caused the divisions and the tension Paul's addressing, and ultimately, the common good was at risk. In our American context, and certainly in the church, we place certain gifts above others. We often put economics and business and strong leadership as gifts above other gifts, such as a good listener, a team player, a student. We may even believe certain boards of our church are more important because they handle money and property. But Paul reminds us that our gifts have been given from God in service of the common good, meaning we need to give and receive what the Spirit has given each of us to really be called and live out the body of Christ. So think about the gifts that come naturally to you. Is it thinking outside the box in ways others cannot? Is it being so organized, so color-coded, that you are able to add structure to where there is none? Is it perhaps your introverted self that is calm and quiet, able to sit in silence, teaching patience with your presence? Is your gift working with children, meeting them where they are and lifting their voices and the value that it carries? Has God blessed you with eyes that truly see the hurt in the world and a passion to serve others? You see, some people who make board games have created a new category of games that are not zero-sum games, but they are called cooperatives. Instead of having one clear winner, all those playing work together to achieve one goal. One such game, a game that Jessica and I have not played for over 2 years, is named Pandemic. which is precisely why we haven't played it. Pandemic is a game where, like we're experiencing now, a virus is spreading across the world, and each player has been given a role to play, whether you're a medic, a researcher, a scientist. And then when you put together your roles, it helps you solve the game. You have to talk to one another. You have to discuss what is going on and call on certain players to help based on their assigned roles and what is going on in the game. You cooperate with one another. There is so much going on in the world that requires the use of our unique gifts. And I think about this congregation, where there are many gifts. We have social workers and teachers, hairstylists, pharmacists, nurses, small business owners, students, teachers. I think about the diverse age groups and perspectives of the world. I think about people's passions for crafts and for biking and for baking, theater and music. I think about the different interests and educational levels, our life experiences. Each one is a gift given. Not just for one's own use, but given from God's own self to be shared, and shared in a way that benefits the common good. Imagine if we really tapped into all of our gifts towards a vision of shalom, the realistic well-being of those in our community. How could we creatively address homelessness or poverty in our area? How could we use our collective gifts to create a community in which those of all genders and sexualities do not have to fear discrimination? How is God calling us to use our gifts in the midst of an ongoing pandemic that requires us to try something new? Yes, we have temporarily suspended in-person worship, but this by no means means the body of Christ is inactive. Earlier, I said that our technology is a gift for this moment, a gift that allows us to get together. Those that run our technology, thank God, have a passion for tech and have said yes to this gift and are making it possible right now for us to connect. Others of you have said yes to your gift of connection, to writing cards and making phone calls, to which binds us together. In fact, we really are still getting together, able to receive and re-gift what God has given to us. But this week, I invite you to really sit with God and meditate on the gifts God has given to you. What gift of yours gives you both meaning and purpose? What gift connects you with others and the common good? And when you have settled on the spark God intentionally put within you, how could that give and be received by others? In what ways could you live now, live that out in the church or at work or just in your daily living? And lastly, do not keep it to yourself. Use it. You can contact me here at church, talk to church council or different boards. You can find organizations that need your gifts and share that light with others. Because when we get together and use our gifts and receive one another's unique gifts, all of God shows up through us. And love and belonging become the way and the life around us. Thanks be to God. Amen.